Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Is holding on to me, you are holding on. And when the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good.
To the book of Acts with me. What's been on my heart all week long, and I've looked all through the Old Testament, the New Testament, is you and I, we need to make sure that we're taking in the counsel of the Lord. And as you see so much deception working in the world, and you see so much confusion round about, you and I, we need to make sure that we're letting the Word of God have first place in our life, preeminence, because that word is Jesus, amen. But also that we recognize and realize that without the word, you and I will be led astray. And if we're led astray, those in the sphere and the realm of our influence, they'll be led astray. And so it's very critical and important as we see prophecy being fulfilled and we see the things that are culminating to the very last of the last days, we want to be in the right place at the right time, amen. So go with me to Acts chapter 20, and this, for sake of time, let's start reading in verse 26. Paul is giving his last words to the church at Ephesus. He spent about 3 years with them, and I want you to think about, you know, when he got there, they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. You know, and there was 12 men there, and so he's leaving here 3 years later, and he's giving them his last words. And you and I, we need to recognize the Church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation and recognize that we need to know the Word of God. Amen. All right. Acts 20, 26, if you're there, say amen. The Word of God says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Think about that. Verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, mark that down, therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you every night and day with tears. Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you, I pull you alongside to the Lord, to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Among all of them which are sanctified. Sanctified. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this service today. Lord, thank you for your many blessings in life, Lord. Lord, I pray that we'll just fill our minds for this time and open our hearts to the Bible to you, Lord. May your word go forth in our hearts, Lord. And have our minds, Lord.
Yes.
Anointing power, the Holy Spirit to roam up and down each and every few weeks and every life, pushing us and taking us to where we need to be, Lord. And ask you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. So think about the love that Paul had for this group of people. You know, any time that you've got a group of people that come together in the name of Jesus, the name of the God who is love, there is a love in and amongst God's church. There's a love in amongst God's people, amongst us. Amen. And, you know, dare to say that there's not a moment during the week that each one of us, we're not, our hearts is not far from each one of us. We think about each other, and we think about what the Lord has done and what he is doing. And we, with that mindset, we recognize and realize that like Sister Mandy said in class, we need to be sensitive to what's happening. Because we cannot even be in close proximity in the physical, but in the spiritual, we can't be any closer. And so we can know in the spirit when things are happening, when people are struggling, and you can impart counsel to them by praying for them, by holding them up, amen? And that's what Paul is talking about, and that's what he did. He did it in close proximity in the physical, but especially in the spiritual. So I want to look at some things this morning. Notice what he said in verse 27. I want you to mark that down in your Bible, write it on the table of your heart. He said, I have not shunned. You know, he said, I didn't cower down. I stood up boldly and was in the place and the position to make sure that people knew the truth. The devil wants to intimidate you and I and get in our face and ask us this question, who do we think we are? We're God's children. We're God's anointed. We're inspired by the Spirit of God. We have the love of God in us, and we don't tell people the truth to condemn them. We tell the people the truth to bring them out, amen, and to bring them to a place of freedom, because every time you share the truth with me, it changes me, amen. Every time that we share the truth with each other, every time we speak the word of life, because that's what it is, it brings a change in their life. And so Paul said, I want you to be in a place and a position that you, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, be in that place where we don't shun, but we declare. We announce in detail. We rehearse all the counsel of God. I like what Brother JP said a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school class. We've got the whole Bible for a reason. Come on, we need the whole Word of God. Amen? And so that's what he's talking about here when he says all the counsel of God. We need to be in the place where we're able to hear from the fullness of the Word of God. We need to see that Genesis 3:15, God promised Jesus. Amen? But Ephesians 1:3 and 4, we understand that from the foundation of the world that Jesus was manifest. He was declared by God. And we'll never understand the New Testament if we don't understand the Old. So we need the whole counsel of God. And so this morning I want us to be in a place and a position where we allow the Word to build us up and to encourage us. And let's look at some things. Look at verse number 26. Paul said, wherefore I take to you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now this morning, you have got to recognize your responsibility. I've got to recognize my responsibility. You have a sphere and a realm of influence that is unique and it is special to you. You have a call on your life that is special to you. You have an anointing that is unique to you. And you have an ability to share a revelation and a vision of God that nobody else can share, because you have met Him in a way that is personal to you. You have met Him in a way that is so conduit of a flow of the Spirit of God that cannot be channeled through anybody else. And I'm not talking New Age. I'm talking about channeled by your unique thought pattern, your unique ability of concern. You have a way to reveal God that is special. And so you've got to be like Paul. I've got to be like Paul this morning to recognize and realize this with great authority, because that's what you have. You have authority this morning, comes a responsibility to that authority. And so you've got to see that you don't make the statement like Cain. You are your brother's keeper. Amen? You have a responsibility, and we want to be able to stand before the Lord every moment, not just on that last day, on that great day, but every moment and say, Lord, I want you to show me who you would use me to influence this day. I want to be able to tell them and share with them the truth, and that's what Paul's talking about. And so I want us to look at some scripture that will help us so much. Go with me to the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, and Paul said that it's very important that we, Ezekiel chapter 3, that we are, we know our responsibility. Ezekiel chapter 3, look what God starts talking to Ezekiel about in verse 16. He said, Paul said, now I know that there's a blood out there, and I don't want the blood of any man on me. See, if you don't share the gospel, who's going to share it? If you don't share the good news, the world, all they talk about is doom and gloom. We've got two extremes in the church today in the world. One extreme is, don't worry about it. Just come to church, give your money in the offering, everything's going to be fine. Here's the other extreme. God is fixing to judge everybody, and everybody's going to hell. Now, come on. Where's the truth at? As always, the truth is somewhere right down the middle of the road. Amen. Right down the middle of Jesus Christ. And you've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility to share what we have been given. You have been given truth that nobody else has been given in your perspective. And your perspective is very critical to getting the will of God revealed to people. So look at Ezekiel 3:16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, I know this is personal, but it's also prophetic. We'll get to that in just a minute. Verse 17, he said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now, in this next few verses, there's 7 times that God commands Ezekiel to give warning. 7 is the number of completeness. And you and I today, we need to shout. You are a watchman on the wall. You have been called by God, and you have been set up in a prominent place in your life to shout the truth of God, to share the goodness of God. And that's why Paul is giving that last day warning to the church at Ephesus to come up out among the world and to stand on the wall of Jesus Christ. God is that wall. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us that you are God's vineyard and the wall of Jesus Christ is around you, but you're in the vineyard, but you're on the wall. And you can see what other people can't see. You can see the coming judgment, but you can see the grace of God. And so you have the unique perspective to be able to tell people, yes, there is a judgment coming, but let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me tell you about the goodness of Jesus Christ, how you can come under His blood and you won't have the blood on your life that will bring judgment. Amen? Now here he says, he said, I've made you this. I have made thee a watchman. See, if we don't accept what God's made us, we can never be what He's called us to be. Every one of us, we've heard a word from the Lord at different times and after the point of salvation, and you heard God say some things. When you got saved, you heard the Spirit of God speaking to you, hey, you have been justified. That was so foreign to us at that moment to think that we had been redeemed and that the blood of Jesus was now on our lives and that the sin that was so black and so heavy was now white, it was washed, it was gone. The chains that were so real that were had us bound are now gone, dissolved by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All of that is true. But we didn't feel like that. It seems so foreign to us. But you've got to hear what God has called you to be. And we'll document it in just a moment. But he said, shout a warning to him. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. God wants you and I to speak some truth. He wants us to share, to shout the gospel, amen? He wants us to tell people that there is a coming judgment, but there is a way to live in the goodness of God, to live in the grace of God. And so if you can see yourself on the wall, if you can see yourself as a person who knows the truth and you don't share it, then where is the love in our heart? Come on. If we truly honor God and we truly love our whole world that is around us as God has loved us, then we're going to what? We're going to share it. We won't hide it. We'll share it. And God, this is why Paul said, I have no blood on me because I've shared with it. Now, go ahead. Look what he said in verse 19. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from the wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. There is a requirement. You can't be a Christian and not share what God's done in your life. I'm sorry. There is a requirement. And today, we've made it so easy. We made salvation so easy. Salvation was paid for by Jesus. But there is something beyond salvation. There is becoming a disciple in Jesus Christ. There is becoming a messenger. There is becoming the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. You and I are to be modern-day John the Baptist. We're to make the way straight. How do we make them straight? By living a life and by proclaiming what God has done and what God is wanting to do in somebody else. Amen? And so Paul goes through all of this, and Ezekiel, he lines it up for us. But look what he said for sake of time. Drop down to verse 21. He says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous man sin not, he and doeth doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. You and I, we got to warn people. Right now, there's so many people that is calling wrong right and right wrong, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 5, bringing a woe to a nation, bringing to judgment to a nation, that we've got to stand up and say, listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is death. Amen? Solomon penned that two times by the unction of the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16. And so we need to tell people, I don't care how right it seems, if it doesn't match the Word of God, if it doesn't match the very unction of the Spirit of God, of Jesus in your life, you need to step back and question it. Amen? And so we need the whole counsel. The whole counsel is, yes, I'm saved by grace, but I'm saved through the works of Jesus, and then the works of Jesus, they're going to come out of my life. Amen? Today, we've got to be about our Father's business. We've got to see that if anything is going to get done, it's going to be done by those who are what? Who are anointed, who are called, who are able. You are well able. Amen? And when the devil tells you something different, you've got to stand up and say, no, I am what the Word says I am. I can do what the Word says I can do, and I'm going to let that be the determining factor in my life. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 13. Because you are a watchman. We could look at many places and take a lot of time. We don't have it about being watchmen. But look what Jesus says starting in verse 33. Mark 13:33. Now this, Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Luke 21, Luke 17, all of those in the gospel, we need to understand them because it's a time that we're living in. Amen? But notice what Jesus says. He says, take heed. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And he's talking about the time of the coming of the Lord, the time of the restoration of Israel and all of these things. But he said to watch. What if he commands you to watch, that means you're what? A watchman. A watchman. And if he's commanded you and I to watch, he's given us an ability to watch. Look what he said, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work. Every woman to his work. Every boy to his work. Every girl to his work. Come on now. Glory! You've been called by God. God's gave you a work to do that nobody else can do. And if God gave it to you, the devil can't take it away from you. And if God gave it to you, he's gave you the anointing to be able to do it. Amen? And it's going to be successful. You cannot fail. And you're going to be able to do it because you're watching. He gave authority. He gave an anointing, exousia, unto his servants and to every person his or her work. And he commanded the porter to watch, to keep awake. Come on. The porter. The porter is the one who was there at the door. Jesus is the door. You and I, we enter into all the things of God through that door. Amen? We're standing at the door because we have the ability. God has called us to be that watchman, to be there, to be the doorkeeper, to be the one who would open up to those who are ready to come in, and to the enemy who would try to steal, kill, and destroy, to close off their ability to do that into people's lives. Amen? Oh, glory! We need the whole counsel of God where we don't allow the blood of God to be on our hands. You and I, we have the ability to see people brought out, to see them saved and delivered. He said, verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, even at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, I say, watch, watch. We've got to be watching. And if we're watching, we are that watchman on the wall. Amen? The early church, they got so full of the Lord and so full of the Spirit of God. In Acts 4:20, they said they couldn't but help but speak the good things of God. This morning, you've got some things to say. The world would say, you don't have anything to say. But when you start speaking, God said that he would give you an anointing. He would give you words that would cause even the naysayers, the gainsayers, to be able to what? To shut their mouth. Because your word is so powerful and such a draw that would bring people out and cause them to see. Amen? We've got to see that. We've got to be that watchman. We've got to be that person who's sounding the alarm. Amen? Go back to Acts chapter 20. So there's not going to be any blood on our hands because we're going to do the will of God. Look what he said in verse 27 and 28 again. He said, for I have not shunned to declare, to rehearse, to announce in detail unto you all the whole counsel the whole counsel of God. God's got a will. He's got a purpose for you. That the whole counsel of God is that it grows you and I up. It matures us into the perfect will of God. Amen? And the only way that we can come to the perfect will of God is to recognize our purpose. So many times in my life, I wasn't flourishing. It was a struggle. It was hard doing what needed to be done because I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. I wasn't in my place. God said that you and I could bloom where we're planted. Amen? We need to accept God's call. We need to embrace His will. And guess what? The struggle just ceases to be. Now, I don't mean that it's going to be perfect. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But I'm talking about the struggle of kicking against the pricks. Paul spent so much of his life kicking against the pricks until he got knocked off his donkey in Acts 9. And he met Jesus in a different way. And when he met him in a different way, all of a sudden his life was turned upside down. And yes, he had to struggle with the enemy. The Bible says that there was a messenger from Satan that buffeted him continually. But there was no more struggle in who he was. There was no more struggle in his purpose. The whole counsel of God is to take somebody from where they're at and to take them to the purpose that God born them into, that he destined them for. Amen? Okay. So notice here, he said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, nobody's left out, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We need to be in the place where we tell people it comes back to the blood of Jesus. The blood, everything is about the blood. When you have been blood bought, when you have been blood washed, then that's your source of confidence. That's your source that goes beyond hope. It's your source of reality that you have been named into the family of God, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by that shed blood. And they need that counsel. They need that assurance. And they need to know that, yes, there are going to be trials and tribulations, but you can overcome. Amen? So let's look at this. If you don't have the whole counsel of God, Luke chapter 4, you know the story very well, but Jesus meets the enemy in the wilderness. And notice what Jesus tells him. You could quote the verse, but let's read it, lay your eyes on it. Luke 4:4. Jesus makes this statement, answering the devil. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the word of God. Every word. The whole counsel. The whole counsel of God. And how did he win in this temptation, in this trial? How did he win against the devil that come against him? By the whole word of God. If you and I will be in a place and a position where we don't just... See, every one of us, there's a certain part of the word that it's easy for us. Boy, I mean, I can read this all day long. Because why? Because it's done been imparted to me. The old man's been crucified to that part of the word. And I've been edified in the new man in that part of the word. And I'm walking in victory to that part of the word. I've submitted to that word. And that word has had its free reign in my life. And it's real easy. And so I love to read this. And I love to walk in this. But God says, now you've got to be challenged. Now you've got to climb just a little bit higher. Now you've got to go to that next level and see what Jesus did. He met the devil in every aspect and he defeated him by the word of God, the whole counsel of God. And you and I today, I want you to know that you're just as victorious in that part that you stumbled last weekend as you are in that part that you overcome 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You just got to what? You've got to feed yourself in the whole counsel, the whole purpose of the word of God in your life to walk in it. Jesus met the devil, and time again, he said what? He said, it is written. It is written. God's word says this. God's word says that. You and I, we can't fight the devil in our feelings. We can't fight the devil in the way that we see things. The devil's not going to tremble at your word or my word. But when we know the word and we speak the anointed word, it freezes him. Because he had reign and rule over your life, over my life at one time. But all of a sudden, when we submitted to the word, when we submitted to Jesus, all of a sudden victory come. Now notice what Jesus, he said to him. Uh, Well, let's look at what the devil said first. And the devil said in verse 6, all this power will I give thee. What power does the devil have? The only power the devil has is what I don't recognize and realize under the Word of God. Amen? Because Jesus said all power. Right? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus has it, but if I don't know that and I don't operate in that whole counsel of God, then the devil can trip me up, because the devil can paint a storm, a scenario in your life where it looks like he has control, where it looks like he has victory. And so you and I, we've got to be in the place and position where we say, huh, devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But with my tongue, with your tongue, we condemn it. In other words, we say that's not lawful. You can't do that, devil. You can't, because my Jesus has done told me what he's given to me. He's done showed me the victory. He's done showed me what happened on the cross. He's done showed me when the tomb became empty. Amen? All of these things. All power, he said, will I give thee in the glory of them, for it is what was delivered unto me. Who delivered it to him? Jesus gives us the victory, the power. The devil here, though, got it from when Adam bowed down, right? Well, guess what? The last Adam took it away from him. Amen? And that's why he said, all power is given unto me. He had it, and now he's gave it back to you and I. He's gave it back to the church. But we've got to walk in it, amen? We've got to operate in it. And the way that we can do that is that you and I are in the place where we're taking in the counsel of God. Okay, go back to Acts. Now, the whole counsel of God, it will cause you and I to understand what's happening around us. Now, verse 29, Acts 20:29, Paul said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, this grievous is an interesting word. It means to be weighty, to burden down under authority. See, so many people want to control the people around them. Well, you and I, we've submitted to Jesus Christ, God the Father. And yes, we submit to one another in the love of God, but we're under His authority. Amen? And I know that there is a structure in the church, but there's so many people who want to control everybody else. And that's not the way that God set it up. God set it up that we come together and we worship Jesus, and where the Spirit of the Lord is that you bring and I bring, there's a great liberty. There's not nothing grievous or burdensome down. God wants you and I to have victory. Amen. So the whole counsel of God takes us out from under the bondage and keeps us in the place of freedom. Amen. And so I want you to see this. Paul said that I want you to know that when Paul representing the epistles and representing the fullness of this counsel of God, he said, if I go away, if I leave, there's going to be grievous, there's going to be weighty issues come in your life. In other words, if you ever get your eyes off the Word, if you ever get your eyes off of what God has revealed to you and I, there's going to be an opportunity for the working of the devil to come. And he will come and he will bring you and I back under bondage, amen, under those things that are weighty and heavy. But what is 1 John 5:3? What 1 John 5:3, what does that say? It says the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not weighty. They don't cause you and I to bow down. They cause us to be lifted up. Amen? We have victory. We have freedom in His Word. But we need the whole counsel of God. We can't just go to what we like, to what's easy, but we got to go to everything that God would have for us, because in those stages of your life, you grow. You mature. In the struggle comes great strength. In the struggle comes great reality of dependence upon the one who struggled for all of us. Amen? Jesus. Now, let's talk about this just a minute. He talking about these grievous wolves. He said that they would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said they would arise of your own selves, shall men arise speaking perverse things, things that was misinterpreted, and draw away disciples after them. If anybody tries to get you your focus off of Jesus and on an organization or on a man, what do? We cast it down in the name of Jesus. Amen? Jesus has to have the focal point. He has to be number one. And that's why when somebody asks you where you go to church at, I go to Christ Church. I go to, he's, you know, we get so caught up in Brother So-and-so's church. Sister, no, huh? It's Jesus' church, amen? And we've got to focus on Him. Everything has got to be about Him. And so know that these wolves, that they're you're going to meet them in everyday life. Now, let's real quick, I don't have a lot of time, but go to Matthew chapter 7. And look at starting about verse 15. Jesus talked about this very same thing, because the Bible all lines up perfectly together. Jesus says in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in what? In sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Inwardly. See, so many times today in the church, people just come into the house of God, and because they start coming to church, there's an assimilation, not a change. You know, if you don't know, if you don't recognize that, think back over your life and think about how many people you sit in church with and where their life is today. We don't. God isn't a God of assimilation. He is a God of change. Amen. And Jesus has to be on the inside. And if a person doesn't have Jesus on the inside, then the wolf is going to be working there. That's what He said, right? All right. Now notice what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." You've got to have the counsel of God. When you accept Jesus and you get born again, He comes on the inside. And He lives inside of you and I. And He's so close to us. He is just a revelation of Him away. See, you've got to accept His revelation. You've got to realize that He's right there with you. See, we keep thinking, well, I got to pray Him down, I got to praise Him down. All of those things have their place. But the reality is, He's closer to you. Because when you got born of the Spirit, you got born of His DNA, and He is in you. That when Jesus said, "I'll be in you and I'll be with you, I'll never leave you and I'll forsake you," that's a truth. That's a reality. And so we don't have to worry about anything else if we're taking in that whole counsel. If we're allowing Jesus to be the source of our root. If you're born of Him, then that goodness is going to come out of you. Amen? And you're not going to give place to that enemy. You're going to be in that place where you see, I've got to call. I've got to warn somebody. I've got to live a life that is life-changing because I'm taking on the whole counsel. It's bringing that purpose into my life. Now, notice quickly, he said in verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits shall you know them." We get so caught up in the first part of this in Matthew 7:1 about judge not lest you be judged. Jesus said that you are to know people by the fruit. And so it's so critical that you and I just don't let somebody sit down beside us and think that they're okay. No, we've got to speak the word of truth, and we've got to be used by God to give them the whole counsel. See, in my life, in certain stages, I look back and I see how God sent somebody to me to make me uncomfortable. I see how God sent somebody to me to make me question and make me realize that I was accepting and believing a lie. Come on, it's so simple to be in a place where you get lukewarm. Come on, the last church age, the church of Laodicea, they're going to be swallowed up in lukewarmness. Amen? And so it's a reality. It's a fact. But there's going to be a harvest that is going to be on fire for God. And you and I have got to be a part of it. Now, I want to close with this reality that we need to get in our heart. We need to see the reality of heaven but so we can tell people how glorious it is. Heaven is so glorious and so pure where the Lamb is the light that it's going to be almost mesmerizing to us because we're going to see Jesus as He really is. Amen? But the reality that is so real about heaven is hell. And we've got to see, look what Jesus makes this statement. Look at, jump back up to verse 13 and 14. Jesus makes this statement, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to where? And many there be which go in thereat." But this is the mouth of Jesus. "Many be thereat which go in." The place of destruction. Just let that weigh on you just for a minute. You've been saved, and you know the Savior. You have the ability to impart what has been imparted to you. Amen? Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Sister Victoria put Isaiah, I think it's 5:14. Isaiah 5:14. You know, "Therefore hell hath what? And opened her mouth without measure." Because Isaiah chapter 5 is the woe chapter. It's a chapter of those who have called right wrong and wrong right. It's where we're at. We're living in it right now. Hell has enlarged herself. Jesus, out of his own mouth, said there'd be few there that find it. But guess what? Those that are out there, you have a destiny to reach them. I have a destiny to reach them. Amen. We have a call on our life to be used by God. But the only way we can do it is we've got to take in this whole counsel. We've got to see that yes, God's going to require some things at my hand. See, Jesus said, he said that the those who would be the faith steward was those who were faithful in least. He said those who are faithful in least will be faithful in much. And in my life, I would look at somebody who had a better personality, who had a easier time. They just like to talk to people. I'm sorry, I don't like to talk to people. I could go all week. I could. It's out of my comfort zone. It's out of who I am. But God wants you to be faithful with what he's put in you. And if you'll be faithful in that which is least, then he's going to see that he can trust you to do more and more and more. And he said, then you'll be faithful in much. I get so tickled. I hear people all the time, "Boy, if I had a lot of money, I would do this and I'd do that." I'm sorry, you've deceived your own self. Like you hear people too say, "If I could sing, I would do this." Jesus said, if you'll be faithful in that which is least, then you'll be faithful in that which is much. And so we've got to rearrange some things, and we've got to say, "Lord, I see that you've entrusted me this gifting of who I am right now. But you're not going to be satisfied with me staying here. You want me to step up in you." Every time we step up in Jesus, guess what? We get smaller and the gifting of God gets bigger. The anointing of God gets bigger. The provision of God gets bigger. The blessing of God gets bigger. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? But you've been called in the world by a big, big God. And he wants to use you. But to be able to do it, you've got to see that you have to take in, I have to take in the whole counsel of God. You'll never understand your purpose. You'll never understand your calling without that counsel being operating in your life, my life, every moment of every day. Father God, in Jesus' name, touch us. Help us, Lord. Everyone that might be discouraged, everyone that might not understand why things are the way they are, what is happening, let truth come right now. Draw us with your Spirit. Help us to see the requirement of salvation. Help us to see the purpose and the promise of being a steward of the good things of God. Let all discouragement and despair, let it just melt under the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let the reality of who we are and what you've called us to be and do, let it come right now by revelation of your counsel. There's words that people need to hear this morning that man can't say, that only you can say. Lord, we say that we'll stop, be still, and listen to you, and you speak it in our heart. And let's move forward to your will and plan. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, I want to hear the counsel that you'd have for me this morning. I want to make sure that I'm moving forward in your will and your plan. I want to make sure that I'm letting the Word say who I am. Would you come this morning? Some of you, you've got a weight on you. You're kind of in a little bit of despair. God wants to give you a counsel. He wants to give you words that will bring the reality of really where you're at. You're so much further along than you think you are, because the reality of God's Word working in your life, rather than what the flesh feels, what the enemy tries to limit us by our situation. Would you come? Let Him refresh you. Let Him breathe on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.